And now, from the Mammoth Oasis, it's the woman who wouldn't let me plug her book, Catalog Living, Something in an Industrial World, I think it's the title of the book, the sports widow, Molly Birdman.
Thank you. What is that, Industrial World?
I didn't remember the rest of the name of your book.
Joe wanted to, we've been, you know, sort of toying with creating our own sponsors. And so he said, well, why don't we have this one sponsored by your book?
Yeah.
And I said no. Not because I'm like humble or anything, but I don't
Certainly
know.
Certainly not.
I don't know. I just didn't want to.
You are humble. Comparatively.
Yes. That's
and you
true.
Have a book.
Yeah. Called but, Industrial Something.
Yeah.
So we'll do it another time.
Okay.
I just, you know what? I'd like to do it on a day when I have new stuff up on like my Instagram or something like that.
Oh, for the, so it's an Instagram as well.
It's these days. I have this, it started as a Tumblr, Catalog Living. And it's also on a Facebook page, but then it was dormant for about a year or two. And then I just brought it back 3-4 months ago, and primarily on Instagram, which is a much better medium for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was more of a plug than I was going to give it, certainly. So you aren't
find it on Amazon.
You aren't humble.
Okay. Well, now we've plugged it.
That's not our sponsor.
Now I feel
though.
Like I have to go get it and
no,
show people.
No, because okay. It's not our sponsor. Our
okay.
sponsor is Gatorade. Gatorade is thirstade.
For that deep down body of thirst.
Okay. And they're not really our sponsor, but if they see this and they want us to be sponsored by them, we're cheap.
Counterpoint, Powerade is.
Well, now you've ruined it for, now we can't do either. Now I can't tag
no,
either.
No, we're starting a bidding war.
They're not going to allow I mean, we could discuss the two drinks, but then I feel like one or the other may not want us sponsoring them, depending on how we treat those
Listen,
drinks.
That's the least of our problems.
Maybe we need a smaller sports drink company to sponsor us, starting out with the big one, really.
Yeah, I mean,
to say Power. I mean, Powerade is probably the second.
I guess so, but it's not like McDonald's Burger King. It's like McDonald's.
No. Wendy's, but Wendy's is
not
better
even.
Than Powerade.
Okay.
You don't think Wendy's is better than Powerade?
I think those are two things that are hard to... Yeah, I do think Wendy's is better than Powerade.
Okay.
The only reason I don't care so much, I like grape or purple flavored...
Into the mic.
Sorry, I was trying to... I like grape or purple flavored sports drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care the brand, and I don't notice a difference between Powerade and Gatorade in that regard. And these are often much cheaper.
They are quite cheap. And the purple, I think, of all the flavors... maintains the most consistency throughout brands.
Oh, okay. I thought that was going to be more of a slam on purple flavor.
No, purple is okay, but we were talking about this earlier. I think the measure of a good drink, whether it be sports drink or anything, is how much temperature variance you can drink it at.
That you can tolerate.
Tolerate it.
Okay.
For example, milk, I think, can be consumed at a number of temperatures.
No. I'm going to sneeze. Keep talking.
Okay. I mean, to be fair, the first milk we drink is at body temperature.
That's true.
Which I would think if you were to drink 98-degree milk now, you would think it was quite warm.
Yes, that's
normally
true.
It's around 40 degrees probably when
well,
you're drinking
and it. Americans drink things colder. Like if you go to Europe and you order a Coke or something, it's like room temperature. They don't serve drinks on ice, really.
Ice is not the ubiquitous item over there. The Americans who haven't traveled abroad... You don't know how good we have it as far as ice goes.
As far as drink temperatures. I really like most drinks cold, even ones that also can be hot. Like I prefer iced coffee to hot coffee, generally.
Mm-hmm.
Iced tea to hot tea.
I love Thai iced tea.
Oh, yeah.
That is great. Also, Vietnamese cold iced coffee is very good.
Yeah.
That's
well,
also
they're both condensed milk. I mean, they're basically desserts. Yeah.
That's what's good about them. But I think chocolate milk, if you take it through the chocolate milk to hot cocoa, essentially, it covers a lot of range.
That's fine.
There.
It's the in-between zone that doesn't
interest
me.
I think I could drink it almost
tepid
room temperature.
Milk. I've made this point before that there's a difference between iced coffee and coffee that was hot that got cold. Like if I have hot coffee in the morning and I let it sit around too long, I don't like drinking that, but I do like intentionally cold coffee.
I understand.
I also don't, I don't like room temperature water, frankly.
You like your drinks being intentionally the temperature that they are, not yeah, just randomly.
I don't like, yeah.
You well, like Joe, your drinks to be purposeful.
When Joe drinks beer, he drinks very slowly and he caresses the bottle so intensely that it into becomes room temperature or hand temperature very quickly.
I just realized this, I'm kind of like the opposite of the Dos Equis guy. I'm the most uninteresting man in the world when it comes to beer drinking because I rarely drink beer, and when I do, I usually leave some of the first beer I drink.
Yes.
Like I probably drink about 10 ounces of a 12-ounce beer,
right,
and it takes about 40 minutes to do it.
Yeah. Not me.
And then it even gets so warm. That's what I actually enjoyed about Amsterdam. It's the only thing I enjoyed about Amsterdam.
I don't believe that.
Me neither. But one of the only thing I enjoyed about beer in Amsterdam was the little glasses, the tulip glasses.
Oh yeah.
And it was served quite cold, and it was you could literally see the factory,
right,
that the beer came from. From where you were drinking
it. It was fresh.
It was fresh Heineken.
I have to blow my nose. So okay. I need you to...
We don't have a sneeze
I need you
button.
To vamp, okay?
Well, I can vamp because we didn't intro the show, I realize. So this is the Sports Widow podcast with Molly Erdman, the Sports Widow. I'm Joe. That was just, you know, a six-minute, cold, open, unprepared discussion of sports drinks into other drinks. We may return to that conversation because it could end up being the most interesting thing we've done ever in our lives. But speaking of sports drink, and one of our viewers right now, although I don't know who currently is viewing, mm-hmm, but a funny bit that we did on the show, and I was going to talk about this, was about, because I wanted to talk about alcohol drinks as well.
Alcohol drinks.
Yeah, which I enjoy also. But one of the commercials that we did was about Four Loko Sport. So it was like a sport drink with booze at the same time.
Oh, yes.
You know, get you shit-faced while you're working out.
Right. Okay.
And that was what I was going to say about, like, there aren't a lot of mixed drinks that you see with, like, Gatorade.
Which, why not? There's Red Bull, you know,
yes,
they use
Red Bull
as a mixer. You might as well, because then you might potentially avoid a hangover if you get those
electrolytes
in with your tequila.
That's what we need, is
so
the
maybe,
next level of sports drink needs to be something that is more mixable.
So why don't you get out that lemon-lime Gatorade, which I will argue is the worst flavor, even though I think it was the original flavor.
Well, we're going to talk about
it. And turn it into a margarita.
Flavor. Okay. I think you would need to adapt that
of
flavor
course.
A little bit.
Of
it's
course.
And that's the
you
problem.
You need more lime juice. You
yes.
can't just do a straight, like,
yes.
Gatorade and tequila.
Yes. Gatorade would, the lime Gatorade would almost serve as like a sour mix.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet and sour mix that sometimes gets added to.
Well, I think the problem with a lot of sports drinks is that they are very watered down tasting already.
And I, as you know, Molly, like my drinks very watered down.
Well, there you go.
So I will often add
water to Gatorade.
No.
Okay.
I'll add warm Gatorade to ice very often is my recipe.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. I'll get a big glass with a lot of ice and slowly pour warm Gatorade over it. That sounded so disgusting, even as I was saying it myself.
Anyway, it's raining here today.
Oh, is it raining?
You might even be able to hear it.
And this is one of the few times, due to whatever the environmental lighting is around us, that you can kind of see. You're not blasted out by the light behind us, so you can kind of actually see the trees about to fall down
mm-hmm.
around us. So if that happens... Somebody type
here.
Something in there so we know to look behind us.
Right. We won't know otherwise.
No. I actually saw a tree fall once. Do you remember?
Yes, at my friend Heidi and David's house.
I did. Mm-hmm. I was Sophia there with me at the time? She was.
Yeah,
we
I
had
think
been
so.
In the backyard. So we were in the, and this is in upstate New York near Albany, and a big backyard. And like many in that area, it's bordered by woods a little bit.
Yep.
And some trees, and we were out there playing for a little bit, and then we came back inside, and I just hear like crack, crack, and I happened to be looking out the back porch, and just in 2 seconds, it was crack, you see the the tree kind of bend, and then in another second it was all the way down very quickly.
Wow.
Would have killed somebody under it probably. That was the real scary thing, is that about 10 or 15 minutes before that, we had been...
And they have two kids. Like, anyone could have been out there at any point.
It fell, and it was impressive to see, and it was just surprisingly quick how fast it fell. Because there was nothing, you know, sometimes when a tree falls, it will be hitting other trees, which will slow its descent. This went right into the yard, so there was none.
Wow.
It was the power of nature.
Yeah.
Which we're witnessing right now around us here. Flash floored warnings in a fjord.
Speaking of power and falling, if anyone from LADWP is watching, and why wouldn't they be? There has been a...
Your brother's watching.
What do you call that? Like a... It's not the power line. It's the you know, the thing.
It's the pole.
A power pole. A
power pole.
That has been tethered by a rope and tied to the building next door, like tied to a tree over there for over a year. Like, because this thing is leaning. And I remember it was a very windy day last year, and they came out, and that was their solution. And apparently is a long-term solution.
Right. Or at least a year solution.
And I, on a day like this, I don't like it.
You know what we should do? We should tag LA Department Water and Power, and then tell them to watch about 12 minutes in. Say, hey, watch 12 minutes in, and we're going to tell you that you got problems in our neighborhood.
But, well, I'll tell you something else. Do you see this? There's like a line out there that's hanging down.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe we'll make a phone call after that.
Electricity. Yeah,
that doesn't seem
right above our car, actually. That's unfortunate. I also, in a... this is not our... Sports Window Wednesday, but in a slight fit of cleaning, I get these bouts of cleaning, and I took cleaning combined with laziness. I took an ingenuity a little bit. These things that have been on our balcony. What are those things? What would you say them? A child
safety
pen,
gate.
Safety gate for kids that you can. They're rectangles.
Like you can make a play yard, is what they call it.
Right. Click these things together. But they've been out there for a while, and they're kind of dirty.
Yeah.
And I was going to clean them off, but it's raining like crazy, so I just took them off the balcony and put them in our driveway, and they're being rained on for like 12 hours. I feel like that's a good way to clean them.
I think it is, as long as you dry them off. Otherwise,
yes.
I think they're just going to be different dirty.
Right.
The same way that doesn't wash your car.
No, and that's always very sad in L.A. when you see after it rains... And the water evaporates. How much dirt is in the rain?
Oh.
Even the rain here is dirty. It's true.
I know. It's all very gross.
It's dirty rain.
Hmm.
Dirty, dirty rain.
Dirty rain.
Haven't talked about sports much yet.
Is there much?
Is there much sports to talk about? There really isn't much sports to talk about, honestly. We're at the All-Star break for the NBA, trade deadline. But these are all such – they're not big enough things to really talk about, I don't think. Unless something big happens. And I haven't been paying enough attention to see if anything happened like that.
Yeah, because, again, Joe is watching much more CNN than ESPN these days. By
what
a lot.
And I hate it. It's making me angry. I got very angry today when I woke up. No, I noticed I was angry an hour after waking up. I didn't wake up mad.
Good. All right. Hey, here's something that you and I haven't even talked about. Our fire alarm went off in the middle of the night.
Is that what that was?
Yes. It beeped and then went fire. Like it has a, because it's also a carbon monoxide detector. So it went, it just did one like really loud chirp and then went fire. You didn't know that? I sprang out of bed and ran to the hallway.
It's like a Christmas
And
poem.
It stopped. And that's happened once before. It was the one in the hallway. It's been the one in our bedroom before. Apparently, this happens sometimes if, like, a bug crawls through your smoke detector.
Oh, that's even worse. We have a bug?
We have a bug.
Why doesn't it bug detector?
And I was, walked through everywhere to make sure there wasn't anything, but it only did it once. And then I just, like, stood by the bed for a minute because my heart was racing.
Oh, awful.
And you just go, have a seat.
What? What did I say?
You didn't remember. You were like, have a seat to me because I was standing there.
No, I have waiter dreams.
That's more host dreams.
You're right. To dream host. The host is the dream. The waiter is the nightmare.
But then it was very hard to get back to sleep because I just assumed.
No offense to all of our servers.
No, we've all done it.
We may do it again soon.
I just assume it's going to go off again. And it's
That's a bad assumption to make.
God.
Because then that means it's a recidivist bug. See, it should be bug.
and then you hear it and you're like, all right, bug.
We told the story of the snake you saw on the ceiling, didn't we, already?
I don't know.
Molly has hallucinations sometimes, and she wakes up talking to, often for some reason, it's a figure standing over the bed, which is, and then she'll sometimes talk about it, like, why is that man in the corner? Or when we were at the Grand Canyon, she said, there's a snake on the ceiling. I was like, what? There's a snake on the ceiling. Oh, Jesus Christ.
There
that
wasn't.
Would have been awful.
Yeah. There wasn't. Our friend Mel here has actually offered
that.
A,
is that a real sports thing?
Yeah. She's in Oklahoma. She says, I'm glad Durant went to Golden State from the Thunder. The amount of venom towards a really good guy here in Oklahoma is hilarious. They were blaming him for losing the series last year, but then got pissed when he left us. That is a good topic because I heard about this when Golden State went to play in Oklahoma City
for the first time this year.
That they had extra security for him,
he
right?
He personally hired it. And then they, you know, they handed out cupcake T-shirts because, you know, that was an insult to him that he was a cupcake. And then
Wyatt, what?
Cupcake, like a softie.
Cupcakes are delicious.
You know, cupcake is probably, I'm guessing.
Has some homophobic.
Well, I'm guessing that it actually evolved, quote unquote, from sissy, which probably evolved from a worse thing, you know.
But so it's cool when someone's called a unicorn, as we discussed earlier this week, which I would say is much more whatever than cupcake.
Yeah.
I don't know. Actually, I'm not sure.
Well,
unicorns are still
my
horses.
To me, unicorn, my first association is not to Kristaps Porzingis. It's to like little girls, I think, for unicorns. And then, yeah, cupcakes, I think like you, are just great. So I immediately go to wanting to eat a cupcake.
Yeah. I'm now wanting a cupcake.
The point is Golden State did a nice job of turning around. They killed the Thunder because that's the thing. The best player on the Thunder went to become arguably the best player on this other team, but there are four guys who are
on Golden State,
and there are two, or there's one now in Oklahoma City.
So
last year it was 3-2,
and
now it's 4-1.
Yeah,
he did, and so people there are hurt. Sports fans hate it when people leave, unless you get a championship. I feel like that is the thing. If you get a title for a team, you can go wherever, and you can still come back and be
favored. Revered. Yeah.
Right. Like LeBron could leave Cleveland. Mm-hmm. They would still be a little pissed.
But they'd
but
be like, you did it. You did it for us.
Right.
Yeah.
And I actually think the owner would prefer that, in my estimation, because he's making a lot of money with LeBron. But basically, and deservedly so, LeBron basically came back and said, I run the show and you do what I say.
Uh-huh.
And not maybe in so many words, but he has incredible influence. And actually, he probably deserves it. I know I went from talking about Durant to LeBron, but fans are always. And again, here's another thing that I listen to a show called Dan Le Batard's show, and he talks about race all the time. And he's Hispanic, Cuban, so he has more not authority, but more license or whatever. But I think also sometimes it depends on the area of the country and the player and the way people. But I always feel like there is a feeling of obligation from the fans that the players owe them something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly where that comes from. But the way the resentment turns.
Can you say that again?
I think fans expect stuff from
players. From the players. They're does that have to do with race?
I think the way they react to those players after something like that is often influenced by race. Like they're harder on those players if they leave for that reason. I think in some areas of the country,
I got you.
The only reason people like athletes is because they're playing on their team.
Uh-huh. And
like
then
some
they
of
turn
the,
very
well,
quickly.
Well, I mean, and this is a broad generalization, okay? I'll open with that. But I think you can see where it comes from. Jeff Sessions... What was the issue with him?
What do you mean? What was the issue with him?
The big issue that people were talking about with him was about race and him.
Yeah.
Right. So he's from Alabama.
Yeah.
That's an area that has a history of racial injustice,
yes,
and racism. Most of the best players on their football team are black.
Yes.
If those people who are racist met those football players in a circumstance other than them playing for the football team, mm-hmm, I don't think those fans would like that person.
Right.
So I think then when people leave areas like that,
they're dead to them.
Right. And right. It lets them say their worst things about that
person.
I gotcha. After it kind of, then they have permission to actually have extra bile built up. And that's not, that is a broad generalization, but I think it's pretty easy to see that, how that argument works.
I guess to me, you're talking in,
I'm being vague.
Like, are people saying racist things about Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City? Is that what you're saying?
I'm sure they are.
Oh, well, I don't understand the crux of the whole thing.
I think sometimes...
Like, I get it, but I don't understand how...
I think people are... If Kevin Durant...
No, I understand the... I think you're loud and clear with the concept. I'm just saying, like, is that a specific thing that's happening right now?
No, I'm saying it more generally. I think it probably is happening. But what I'm saying is the vitriol rises to a certain level above what it would, because I think there's an added element of racial anger.
So you think that if he was a white guy who left and played for another team, people wouldn't be as mad?
In that area of the country, I do.
Interesting.
Because I think they would emphasize what he did for them more than what he didn't do for them.
All right.
It's kind of like the double standard for women, where they have to work harder to overcome, you know, biases and to earn the same amount of, mm-hmm, money, because people's presumptions are biased against them in many cases.
Sure.
So I think that's what, you know, I don't have a specific element with Durant that I'm aware of. I bet you if I looked into it, you'd find something. But yeah, I was making a more general point and using him as a broad example.
All right.
Really kind of got into me on that.
No, it was just a lot of things that you said, and I was trying to figure out, I get that you kind of don't want to be too specific about it, but I wasn't sure what.
No, if there had been a specific, if somebody had written some racial epithet, but also asking for extra security, I think things like that, like even considering that you have to get extra security to return to play a basketball game,
right,
in a place where he gave millions of dollars in charity and was a real part of the community. And ironically, that probably is what made people feel so bad when he left.
Sure.
You know, if he had just kind of been a non-entity in
the community. Well, same with LeBron leaving Cleveland.
Right.
That was his hometown.
It's like a divorce, yeah, or whatever.
Sure. You know what I like about Kevin Durant? The commercial that he did where, like, the woman's husband watched so much basketball that he, like, turned into Kevin Durant. And
yes,
so the woman had him, like, clean out the gutters. I thought that,
right,
was funny.
Right, because he was Kevin Durant. Yeah, that was funny. He has a decent sense of humor, I think. I actually think a lot of NBA players have pretty good senses of humor in terms of specific athletes and specific sports. I think basketball players might have the best sense of humor.
Well, I think we should have a sketch comedy writing contest among all of the sports leagues.
Mm. Now, LeBron was pretty good in the movie he was in with the comedian woman. The blonde woman.
Oh, Trainwreck. He was. Jeez. He was good in that.
You were nodding like it was so obscure. But
no,
then
I wasn't. I just couldn't remember what you were talking about.
All right.
Ugh. Come on.
Was that a neck roll, eye,
yeah,
roll,
no, my
combo?
Neck hurts. My neck
hurts. Were you disguising an eye roll by rolling your neck?
No, I rolled my neck and my eyes stayed in the same place, so it seemed like they were rolling. All right. What else? Anything else?
Well, let's just finish up our sports,
okay,
drink conversation. I do like the idea of talking about which sports athletes are the funniest.
Okay.
But not, that's, I think that's for another show.
Yeah. Well, I'll try to.
We'll think on that.
Yeah.
Because
sure,
just off
other
the top
examples
of my head.
Oh,
Alex Karras, O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Uecker.
You know what I remember about Alex Karras, aside from, of course,
I
Webster.
I said it was a conversation for another day, but that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, let's certainly remove any spontaneity. Anyway, sports
no,
drinks?
No, tell me your story about
Alex Karras. Was the host of SNL back in the mid-80s, and he and Jim Belushi did a thing where they're like, they did this white rap. They're like, we're white guys. We take no crap when we deliver our white rap. And I, the only other part I remember, he goes, I like your shirt. I like your tie. I like your wife. Just kidding, guy.
Did this precede the Super Bowl Shuffle? I'm sure it did, right?
What year is that?
The Super Bowl Shuffle was 85?
No, I think it was just around there, so it may have coincided, but I don't think that was on my radar.
Right. I wonder, though. That'd be interesting to know.
We'll look it up. I feel like I've tried to look it up once, and a lot of times that old SNL stuff is really hard to find, because I also tried to find
Tim Meadows. A lot of nudity.
I tried to find Tim Meadows, if you watch this. I keep trying to find your weatherman. What was his name? Like John Mackey or something like that. And I can't, it's hard to find.
Well, maybe Tim could send us a link or something.
Or a live performance.
Oh, Tim, if you would come over and just do that, that'd be great.
Yeah, that would be really nice.
Boy, wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the nice things about my life, that it's conceivable that that could happen. That's why I tagged Ike Barinholtz in this.
Right. We have to mention something because you did tag him.
What do we have to mention? Ike?
There's something about it.
Well, his birthday's coming up.
Okay. This podcast is sponsored by Ike Barinholtz.
61 years old.
Good for him.
And he wears that 294 pounds really well. You wouldn't think he was pushing 300 if you saw him. But
no way.
If you saw him up close, you would. But, I mean...
On the screen. He surrounds himself with other large people.
He does. Yeah. And, you know, he's the one person where the screen doesn't add the weight. Somehow. It's like a reverse. It's a vacuum. Mm-hmm. Well, happy birthday to Ike.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great guy, right?
Yeah.
We both know him from a long time ago.
I started taking improv classes with him.
I kicked him out of a rehearsal once because he was still drunk. 10 a.m.
Wow.
Couldn't open his eyes. He said, go home.
Was that for the team I was on?
Yeah.
But I wasn't there
You weren't there. He came in a little late and super drunk, smelled like alcohol, couldn't open his eyes. And I was like, you got to just go home, man. And he did.
Oh, those were the days.
Those were the days. All right. Okay, well, so listeners, you know, you can listen to us on iTunes. Should we go on another platform like Google? Can you do it on more than one?
I think you can. I think there's
others.
Right
now, we're just on iTunes. So if you know what that is and how to get it, Sports Widow on that. Or please like our Facebook page.
Listen, Mel is treating us to some good fodder today.
Oh, my God.
She says that her grandma sang the national anthem for Super Bowl 15. I can read Roman numerals. In 1981.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Who was playing in that Super Bowl, Joe? Do you know?
The 1981 Super Bowl, I'm going to say Niners and Bengals is my guess. I don't know if it was the Niners and Bengals or not, but someone's going to probably tell me.
That's very cool.
Mel might know. Of course, we were just about to end the show.
We still can.
We could still
save
end
it
the
for
show.
Next time.
Well, we got more of the announcement. Yeah, we'll confirm that. The rain again is happening here. So, weather warning: if you're watching this near Los Angeles, it's probably raining where you are too.
Yeah.
And
that's an extra feature. The weather that we just
we did. Should do that when there is weather.
Yeah.
Anywhere in the world, we should report it.
Okay.
Well, it'll change the tone of the podcast, but. Yeah. Did I mention our Facebook page that we're going to be broadcasting from starting in March?
Starting in March, we will be broadcasting exclusively from the Sports Widow page. So if you haven't already, go over there and like the page.
Like that shit.
So that you will be notified when we go live.
Okay.
Find us on Twitter at Sports Widow Show. That's it.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that's all the Sports Widow-y things that there are to announce. So for our listeners, we'll catch you later.